Cookeville Town Council meeting of July 10th, and would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kelly? I have no changes to the agenda that went out in the packet, but it's very different than what was in the newspaper. Should I note those changes? Do I need to note those changes?
Tell me that again. The agenda is different than the one that we published? Yes.
Yeah, so note that?
Yes.
Okay, so changes we have made from the agenda that was posted in the newspaper are, we are still having the public hearing on ordinance 475. 745. We are still approving an MOU with the Navy. We have added an action item to approve resolution 1807. And I've completely switched up the discussion items. We will not be discussing the section 106 or the preferred alternative for the Navy. Is anybody here for that tonight? Yeah, okay. Okay, because, and the reason I had to do that, this is in my mayor's report, but I was in a conference for 3 days, and with the holiday, I really needed to touch base with some people from the Navy and with Kristen from the Reserve to get some input on that before I started drafting any kind of response, and I couldn't get a hold of those people since the last council meeting, so that will be on the agenda for next time. But we have replaced it with a discussion item that is timely that we need to get some opinion from the council on tonight about an unopened right-of-way in town. So that will be discussed at the end of the meeting. Does the council have any changes or additions for the agenda?
No.
Okay.
We move to approve the agenda.
I second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Have you all had a chance to read the minutes of our June 26th meeting?
Yes.
Any changes or corrections?
No.
Okay, those will be approved as submitted. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, Mayor's report. As I just said, I was in Yakima for 3 days on June 26th, 27th, and 28th for the Association of Washington Cities Conference. I have not gone every year to this, but I went this year because the schedule had a lot of emphasis on small cities and towns. And so there was a lot of really good classes and a lot of good vendors there. So, and it was really well organized and very well attended. I don't know, I didn't hear how many people. There's hundreds of people there. It was one of the larger AWC conferences I've been to. So I passed out tonight a little summary. I wrote you a little summary of the classes that I took and the vendors I touched base with. And I just wanted to thank the council for always including money for training for both all of us and the staff in our budget. That's an important thing to stay on top of. And I would encourage all of you to consider attending next year. It's always in June. I think next year it's in Spokane. I'll send out a notice to remind you. Okay, and while I was gone, we had the planned power outage from PSE. Joe Grogan, our utility superintendent, reported that went well. I believe the power was only up for 5 hours instead of 8, but that still means Joe and Pepper worked all night, because when the power went out, they had to make sure all the generators came on at the water plant, and the sewer plant, and the lift stations, and of course, when the power went out, every alarm in the system went off. So they turned those all off, and then they waited for the power to come back on, turned on all the alarms again, made sure the generators went off. He was pleased to announce everything worked the way it was supposed to, and had good communication with PSE. So that was, but I want to thank Joe and Pepper publicly for going above and beyond that night. Because I'm a Lion, and I'm going to report that the Lion's garage sale went really well in its new location. Had to temporarily move this year from the elementary school over to the middle school and high school. Definitely a different setup, definitely a different feel. So we always have a big reveal, which will be tomorrow night at the annual Burger Burn. They'll reveal how much money they made. And just wanted to remind you all that every penny they make at that garage sale goes back into our community with their service projects and donations to nonprofits. And none of the money from the garage sale goes to scholarships. They have a separate scholarship auction for the high school scholarships. And usually that's around $40,000. But that is a year-round project they work on, collecting, cleaning, fixing items, moving, pricing. So it's a big job. I would like to report that according to our marshal, we had a very nice 4th of July in Coopville. We had one noise complaint that I heard of, and no accidents, nothing bad happened. So we made it through another 4th of July.
Seems much quieter. It helped. It was on Wednesday. Yeah.
Really? Gosh, I could just hear everything.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But it was like, it's like in Coopville, everybody's so good. It's like a light switch turns off at 11 o'clock, man, it stops.
Not in our neighborhood.
No, it didn't?
The light switch is a little slower.
It was a little slower. Well, the one call that did get called in, I understand that a marshal did respond, but of course, by the time it gets there, it's gone, so... No, I don't know. There's not much to do about that. Okay, I've already told you why I took the discussion items off. Oh, I want to tell the council that we have two very important anniversaries in town this week. Jesse Lynn, who is a water plant operator, utilities operator, on Sunday was with the town for 5 years. And this Sunday, Kelly Rietma, who has been either with the Public Works Department or the manager of the Public Works Department, she will have been with the town for 10 years. So they are our two longest serving employees, and in recognition of their and appreciation of their historical knowledge of their departments and their experience and dedication, Joe Rogan and I are going to be hosting a barbecue in their honor tomorrow. And so we will close town hall for about an hour, hour and a half for lunch tomorrow. I want to let you all know and correct the information in the newspaper was incorrect about our application process for town council. As you know, Christine is leaving us. And so I just want to go through that one more time publicly so everybody knows what's going on. The applications are due July 16th, which is next Monday. At the following town council meeting on July 24th, we will interview all the candidates and hopefully you will feel comfortable appointing someone that evening. So you would vote on that and appoint them, but then it would be the next council meeting on August 14th that we would swear them in at the beginning of the meeting, and then they will come up and join the council and that will be their first meeting. And I'm very happy to tell you that I have in my hot little hand one application at least of a highly qualified candidate. And I've heard that a couple other people might be applying, but I haven't received applications yet. But we have the rest of the week to go. And then remind you that next Tuesday, July 17th, from 4 to 6, we are having our first budget workshop to begin the process of working on the 2019 budget. That will be from 4 to 6 here. And then just before we meet again, just remind you all that the following weekend, starting on July 21st on Saturday, Race Week begins, which is a beautiful time in Coopville, and we have a lot of guests come, you know, for in our restaurants and stuff during that week. So we want to welcome that. And that is the end of my mayor's report. Are there any questions? Okie dokie. The first item on our agenda this evening is...
Mayor?
Uh-oh. Sorry. I always do that. We have our first opportunity for audience input. If anybody in the audience would like to say something, I'm going to do something different tonight. If you want to say something that doesn't have anything to do with the next item on the agenda. So maybe we could get through that public hearing, and then after that, I'll have another opportunity for audience input. Oh, I think I have an opportunity during the
hearing.
Yeah, during the hearing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, is there anybody in the audience that would like to address the council about any other subjects? Nope. Okay. So now I will officially open up the public hearing on Ordinance 745. which is a six-month moratorium on the establishment of any new guest house uses in our residential zone. And I will ask if there is any possible conflict of interest with any of the council members on this subject? Nope. Okay, so I guess I will make the report on this. Want me to make the report?
Actually, I'd be happy to say a few words.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Mayor Keenan and good evening, council members. Just as a small clarification, the moratorium actually applies to all zones rather than just the residential zones.
Okay.
And it was adopted on June 12th, and there was no hearing at that point. According to state law, when a moratorium is adopted without a public hearing, that public hearing must be held within 60 days, and then following the public hearing, the legislative body is required to adopt findings of fact, which recommended findings of fact were included with the staff report. I would note that I think it's important that this hearing is specifically on the merits of the ordinance, the merits of the moratorium, and not on what we may do in the future. This will start a work program for the council to review what our current codes are and applicable to guest houses, and that will include opportunities for public comment. There are sheets at the back of the room where people may sign up to be parties of record, and we will notify anyone who becomes a party of record of all opportunities for input or for hearing discussion. As noted in the staff report, there are three options for you. One is to adopt the proposed findings of fact, or the proposed findings of fact as you wish to amend them. Second would be to, if there are issues raised during the public hearing, you can defer adoption of those findings of fact to the next town council meeting. And then finally, if you feel swayed by public testimony or your own beliefs or feelings that this is not a good idea, you may direct staff to bring back an ordinance to actually rescind ordinance 745 or amend it as you wish. And that concludes staff's. Oh, I'm sorry. One last thing, at the June 12th council meeting, when this was under discussion, there was a suggestion or an inquiry from the council about the prudence of continuing with health and safety, life safety inspections for those guest houses that had not been legitimized through the appropriate hearing process. And we did, staff asked our town attorneys about this, and the guidance was that we are under, the town is under no obligation to do so, and we are protected by the doctrine. We have no special duty to enforce. That was the direction. And the recommendation is that for those uses that are out of compliance with town code, that we actually not legitimize them in any way, including performing inspections that would not otherwise be required for instance, a single family home. Mm-hmm. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Okay, thanks, Owen. You said that this ordinance, it starts a six-month process for the council to work on, but I believe that this subject will start with the Planning Commission?
It will. It's in Title 16, our development regulations, and so it will, the Planning Commission will discuss it and forward a recommendation to the council for your consideration.
So at the, both at the Planning Commission level and at the council level, there's an opportunity for public input?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, just to reiterate what Owen said, this public hearing tonight is not to talk about whether we want to have guest houses or not, where we would allow them, why they're good, why they're bad. This is actually a public hearing on the moratorium, of kind of finalizing the decision to take a break for 6 months of accepting or processing any applications for anybody that currently has a guest house or wants to have a guest house and make it official. We won't be doing that for the next 6 months if we approve these findings of fact. But it's no, it will have no effect. This ordinance has no effect on anybody, legal or illegal, who's running a guest house, who has reservations this summer. We're not going to be looking everybody up on Airbnb and VRBO and telling them they can't have reservations. We're going to just operate the way we've been operating and just take the next six months to make some decisions with the input from our community about what is the right thing to do in Cookeville. Okay? So with that said, this is your opportunity to have public input on this ordinance, if anybody would like to speak to it.
Hello.
Please, when you get up there, please just give us your name and your address.
Do you want me to sign up too?
Yes, please.
So my name is Daniel Cornell. Address is 202 Northeast 4th Street.
I'm reminded that everybody is going to be allowed 3 minutes to talk. And can you, and when you talk, can you pull that up so we can really
sure.
get you? Thank you. And I'm sorry, I didn't hear what your name was.
Daniel Cornell.
Okay, thanks.
202 Northeast 4th Street.
Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk tonight. I guess I really just have a couple of questions since we're limited to the moratorium. First, I'll say thank you for your service. I appreciate it. I guess I have my main question is, I'm used to doing things, you know, I understand that there's some concern that you guys want to stop something that may or may not be happening. From the data I have, there's only been like one application in 2 years, so I'm not sure what the big deal to stop it is right now. I've already been working on a place. I've been working with Owen on 202 Northeast 4th Street. I'm starting to wrap up, and it kind of, I've been trying to now work with the city and do everything right, and it kind of impedes my ability to use my investment property for this. You know, I've already invested in the town. It's been going on. I've been doing it for 9 months already, and to kind of get this after asking, so how it started was I asked Owen, hey, we started a business. We're trying to help people become legit. And he said 2 days previously that we put a moratorium on this, and I had no idea at that time until he sent me that information, which we shared, and maybe that's why some people are here. I'm not sure. So my suggestion is, why can't we just continue to do what we're doing, do it on a case-by-case basis? I don't think you're going to get a flood of people going in here. As you come up with regulations and requirements, I'll implement them, whatever you guys want to do. It's just, it just seems kind of penalizing to me to make this very blunt action. You know, as I've already started this process, I'm just trying to figure out what the benefits to the town are, you know, by just putting a moratorium out without having more data. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you. Who would like to be next? No one? Okay. All right.
I would.
Okay.
I am Sandy James Dirksen, and I live on South Main Street. And my son has recently purchased a home, and he's not quite here yet, and it was a foreclosure. I'm hoping to fix it up for him and trying to decide what to do with it until he can get here, because the payments are our payments. And I did speak with Owen about making it commercial, but he indicated at the time if it were commercial, and it is in a residential home in a residential area, if it were commercial, it could be a liquor store, it could be a grocery store, it could be anything commercial. Well, that wasn't really what I had in mind. I was thinking commercial meant more specific kinds of things. And then I realized that, well, maybe it could be a short-term rental. That would be something that seemed appropriate. But apparently, commercial doesn't necessarily mean short-term rental, although some people have made commercial are short-term rentals and commercial, which is interesting. My son purchased a home, and it is commercial, but he's also residential right now. So then I spoke with Owen again about making it a short-term rental, well, not specifically, but just information about short-term rentals. And he told me at the time that that the council was looking into it, the city was looking into it. The fees could possibly be perhaps up to $4,000 to make it into a short-term rental, perhaps. And then I understood that there hadn't been any applications for 2 years for a rental, short-term rental. But then I just recently met a lady who did it a year ago, and all she had to do was fill out a business license, very minimal fees, and I believe she had the inspection with the fire department, but certainly not up to $4,000. And she was here just a year ago, she started, and she's doing very well. So I have a lot of misunderstandings about what the future is going to be and the cost to provide people a place to stay in a wonderful community that's going to benefit the community with income, taxes, hotel revenue. And I'm very concerned about $4,000 per short-term rental owners. That seems a lot more than a business permit to me. Because we are, well, I'm not providing anything right now, but that is in my mind, I would like to provide that service. That's all. Just rambling.
Thank you. That's okay. Anybody else would like to speak about this moratorium? Nope. Okay. Owen, have there been any other letters or comments?
None specifically for the hearing.
Not for the moratorium. Just about the subject.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So I would just, I know we're not going to get into a discussion about this tonight. It feels it's a little bit hard to have you guys make comments about it and then not respond back. But generally we wouldn't do that because that's not really what we're talking about tonight. But everything you brought up is exactly the reason why we are going to discuss this at the Planning Commission level and at the Town Council level. For every pro, there's a con in this subject. And so we need to feel like we can get input from other opinions and other people in the community that have an interest in this. So we will be working really hard to do that and to try and make sure that everybody, no matter what their opinion is, has an opportunity to be heard on this subject. Okay? Okay, Council,
don't you have to close the public hearing?
No, not yet. I'm going to ask the council if they have any questions on this ordinance for staff. I know we discussed it quite a bit when we passed it.
I just want to make this really clear that this moratorium applies to guest houses but not bed and breakfast uses.
That is exactly right.
Okay. I wanted to just compliment you on, I thought you did a really good job of explaining this and your findings were good, but it was very clear and for me very helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
One second, Bill.
Okay, excellent. Okay, now I'm going to call this public hearing closed. You got the time, Kelly?
Yep, I do, thank you.
And if the council would care to make a motion about the findings of facts, Owen has given you your three alternatives.
I move to adopt I move to adopt findings of fact in support of ordinance 745.
I second it.
Okay, moved and seconded to adopt the findings of fact in support of ordinance 745. Any other discussion from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Well, and thank you for your work on this. And we have a lot of work ahead of us to have this go through the proper channels. Okay, our next item of business is approval of a memorandum of understanding between the town of Cookeville and the Navy. I have provided you with the copy of the memorandum. It's fairly simple, five-page understanding that the purpose is kind of a two-fold purpose for this MOU. One is to kind of formalize everything the Navy is doing with the town on the water issue, which basically means, in a very summarized, means the design, the engineering and construction and payment for a treatment system on our water plant, on the Fort Casey water plant, and the extension of water lines up Keystone Hill and down Big Cedar and on Wanamaker to serve the 8 private wells that are also have been affected by PFAS compounds. That's the first thing this MOU does. The second thing is it is actually just it's a formal document that allows the council to approve of my work with the Navy and Joe Grogan's work and Kelly Rietma's work. You're giving us your permission to continue to negotiate and make decisions on behalf of the town for this public works infrastructure.
I would like to commend you for your 5-month
thank you.
Marathon.
And we're going to start right in on the next one. The next document. As I said, this process that I know of is going to have 3 documents. This is the first one. The next one will be a contract between the Navy and the town for the town to do the easement work, to obtain utility easements at no cost to the town. And the final document will be a long-term O&M agreement between the Navy and the town, where the Navy will reimburse us for labor and materials to operate the system for as long as or until they complete the environmental cleanup of the groundwater in the aquifer. So this is the first one. So can we start with a motion so that we can get the discussion on the record?
Yes, I would move to authorize the mayor to sign the memorandum of understanding between the town of Cookeville and the U.S. Department of the Navy regarding long-term drinking water protection actions for the town of Cookeville.
I second.
Moved and seconded to approve the MOU between the town of Cookeville and the Navy. Are there any questions on the MOU or my staff report?
No. Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, moved and seconded to approve the MOU between the town of Cookeville and the Navy regarding long-term drinking water protection. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, the next item is kind of just a housekeeping item. It's resolution 1807, and it is in regard to the Transportation Improvement Board work we will be doing this summer, overlays, basically. Overlays and 2 road rehabilitation. Because our town lies within Eby's Landing National Historic Reserve, any street work or any work that requires digging or possible change to our landscape requires a determination of whether this will be impactful or not impactful. And so this is something we do every year. We're supposed to do it every year. And we are, because the road work we're doing this summer is not, we're not adding any new roads, we're not widening any new roads, we're overlaying existing roads. So we're not really changing the landscape at all. And I have gotten, I think I included it, did I include the email?
Yeah,
this is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
This is the mayor not understanding how to operate the printing machine, I guess. A lot of extra paper in here.
We provided money for training.
Thank you. Boy, I didn't take that class, did I? I didn't take copying 101. I have a letter in here from the EB's reserve manager, Kristen Griffith, and she agrees with our determination of no significant impact. So are there any questions on Resolution 1807? Can I get a motion?
I move to approve Resolution 1807 regarding impact of the 2018 street overlay and rehabilitation projects.
Moved and seconded to approve Resolution 1807. Any last chance for questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Excellent. We're moving through this, getting some work done. Okay, the last item on our agenda this evening is a discussion item regarding a currently unopened right-of-way on Hawthorne Street. And Owen has provided a staff report, but will walk us through what's happening.
Thank you, Mary Hughes. And to correct my first slide, it's Hawthorne Place, technically, so apologies for that. Mm.
Is that too dark? Mm-hmm. A little
bit? Thank you. Excuse me one moment. Technical
freeze
issue.
Up.
We need batteries.
Just give me, I don't think you gave me the piece that goes on the computer.
I'm sorry.
I don't think I have the piece that goes on the computer. No, there's supposed to be a USB.
Didn't I give you one? Oh. I did hand it to you. Training budgets.
You know, all this training can be provided in-house.
So this is an aerial view of Hawthorne Street, and this is this Pennington Loop, Summit Loop, Maple. At the very east end of Pennington Loop is Hawthorne Street, or Hawthorne Place. Hawthorne Place was dedicated in 1994 as part of a short plat, and it is constructed. The first 300 feet or so are constructed to a cul-de-sac, and there are about five houses, rather, that take access from it. The unopened portion is this 300 feet or so. So there is a lot to the south and a lot to the north, and for full disclosure, I currently reside in the lot to the south, but have no financial interest in the outcome or in the property. So there are these two houses at the east end. Both take access from a shared driveway. The one on the north has two access points, but there is a shared driveway that goes down the unopened portion. This is included as an attachment to the staff report. This is the short plat in which it was dedicated. As originally proposed, Hawthorne Street, which was constructed at the time as a gravel road in 1994, was only proposed to go as far as the cul-de-sac is now. The lot 4 extended down and included the area of the unopened right-of-way. As part of that process, the applicant was required to dedicate that additional extension as well. As noted in the staff report, several months after it was dedicated, or after the short plat was recorded, the owner of 40 acres immediately to the east in unincorporated Island County requested to construct the unopened portion and to log and develop that 40 acres. They were, staff originally declined or denied that request, but after some back and forth between attorneys, the town attorney directed staff to allow them to open the road. 5 years after that, in 1999, the 40 acres was sold again, and it has been in its under that ownership since then. There we go. Oops. So this is the town limits. The yellow part, yellowish portion, is the town, and this is the unincorporated 40 acres that is adjacent to Northeast Hawthorne Place. The owner of the 40 acres, who also owns lands within the town and then other unincorporated properties to the south, is implementing a forest management plan, which requires access to the land, as well as some place to, in all likelihood, remove a significant number of trees as a thinning operations required under the forest management plan. So that owner has contacted the town and requested that town staff identify where the boundaries of this unopened right-of-way are so that they can construct improvements to use Northeast Hawthorne Place. When staff received this, there was some discussion about the extent to which the town may want that used by this property and potentially other unincorporated properties. Once it is extended as a public street, it would continue into the county, and the town would, except for commenting opportunities, would lose all control over the trips generated, how much, what area that supported. That would be solely up to the county staff's discretion, as well as any applicable Island County codes. So this is a view from the intersection at Pennington, Northeast Pennington Loop, looking down the cul-de-sac. This is at the end of the cul-de-sac, looking down the shared driveway. This is where the driveway splits between the north and the south house. You'll notice how close the trees are. In all likelihood, if this were developed as a public street, it would require some removal of trees. And then finally, this is the North Fork of the driveway, and this essentially follows the path of the unopened right-of-way until it turns off at this point, so that the right-of-way would continue straight east along this path. And this is looking back out again from the fork in the driveways back out Hawthorne Place, and again from the cul-de-sac out toward to Northeast Pennington, and then this is looking down Pennington. So any traffic that comes through here has to go through logging trucks, commercial vehicles, residential vehicles, whatever it is. We'll have to go down Pennington Loop or up Pennington Loop, and this is the way up, which is a circuitous route either way, and then would go through various residential neighborhoods before it reached the highway or an arterial. So because the guidance staff has received from our town attorney is that the town council has a significant authority in determining whether a right-of-way, town right-of-way, should be open, should be developed to town standards. So the first question is whether the council supports allowing this unopened portion of Northeast Hawthorne Place to be opened as a public street at this point. And then second, if not at this point, should the right-of-way be preserved for future use? Now, in general, it's a it is a reasonable planning principle to have as much connectivity in your road and as much integration in your roadway as possible. If there was an opportunity for the 40 acres to at some point annex to the town would have more control, and this could be just a connection point for a roadway system that may connect to Parker and elsewhere. So, and I think that may have been, according to the town planner's letter to the original applicant that was quoted in the staff report, that sounds like it was the original plan. So it's not without any merit to take a roadway to avoid cul-de-sacs where possible. And so the question is, does the council see any reason, any benefit in maintaining this as an unopened right-of-way for future use at some point? If neither of the first two, if you're not interested in opening it now or preserving it, are you interested in having the staff do some research into options for vacating all or a portion of that unopened right-of-way? And we could bring that back at a future meeting. So either with the option to maintain it as an unopened right-of-way or to vacate it, staff believes that the staff understands from the legal guidance we've received that any property owner abutting an existing dedicated right-of-way has some rights, has some access rights, although those are evidently limited by the decisions of the town council to some extent. But in any event, it's in all likelihood that owner would have the benefit of at least a driveway to connect to Northeast Hawthorne Place. So staff has proposed issuing allowing the applicant to apply for a right-of-way permit under the current circumstance to construct a driveway within the unopened right-of-way.
A right-of-way permit or an access permit?
Well, both. So it would be a right-of-way permit to do construction within a public right-of-way, and then it would be an entry permit, which we have identified in Chapter 1624 of the Town Code. Staff believes that through the entry permit, we can restrict the volume and the type of traffic that would take access through a driveway to this point. Staff's assumption is that it would be limited to the equivalent of a single-family home to allow the owner visits to the property for surveys or whatever is required for the forest management plan, up to but not including logging truck traffic. So those are that's the direction staff is looking for you this evening. That concludes staff's presentation.
My question is there another way they can get out of those 40 acres?
Yes, sort of. There is practically, yes, it would be feasible for the owner to find other routes. The owner owns a parcel within the town limits, between the 40 acres and Parker. So that would
show that? Is it on a map?
It is.
I know it doesn't go all the way to Parker.
There we go. It is this is a 30-acre tract that goes clear to, has extensive frontage on Parker. Alternatively, the owner has this parcel and this parcel, which comprise about 10 acres, that is adjacent and contiguous and was purchased with under the same deed. Now, these two have, at a minimum, have access to an easement that goes from this parcel, through this parcel, and down through intervening parcels to the highway.
There is a, there's actually a road on it.
There is a constructed road, correct, correct. And it serves, I believe there is development on this lot, a single-family home, and they take access through that easement, as well as all the intervening properties. Now, there is a question as to whether this property would have automatic rights to that easement, since it was conveyed in the same deed, but it is a separate lot of record. This parcel was conveyed separately from these, or has been conveyed separately from these in the past, so there is a question as to whether this lot has historic right to that easement, or whether that would be something that would have to be obtained by the owner.
So Owen, all those lots, the 40-acre one and the other ones, are all owned by the same person, basically, or the same persons?
No.
The same person owns this one, this one, and several others. So a total of about 104 acres.
Okay. So if that person had access somehow to either Parker or to the highway, then down the line that could possibly be an area of development for housing?
It could.
Not counting the little road.
It is possible. The fact that it is that Northeast Hawthorne Place is a dedicated right of way does change the equation a bit, because it is an existing access directly to that property. But there are other options, correct?
So is there a similar kind of a situation on the other side of town, over towards Madrona, that property up above where there's half of its trees and half of it's a field? Is that a similar kind of a thing?
The one just before the end of town?
Yeah. Right, okay. Is that a similar?
Are you talking about the adjacent to Vine Street, that at Madrona and Vine, at the north end or the south end?
The north.
I believe, I'm not aware of a property.
Well, one of them we looked at one time at a meeting was half trees and half of a field.
Right.
And that area also is one that people might be considering on a development.
But that property, I believe, is inside town limits.
It's inside town limits, yeah. And they have direct access to Vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Extensive access.
So.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that it's just a similar thing. So it seems like looking at the long term on this, it could be beneficial to the town if the person could figure out different accesses other than that little, curve off of Pennington.
If ultimately there is a significant amount of traffic generated by the properties that may take access through Northeast Hawthorne Place, it would be, I think, beneficial to the town's transportation system to have alternate means for getting through. Those are some fairly quiet and Pennington Loop, I think, could stand some care at some point before a lot of heavy trucks.
Well, I'm just trying to think a long term down the line.
Not wide streets.
Of a possible ways that town could expand.
There are. So currently we have, we'd be looking very long term, since we have no urban growth area, which means there is no area in unincorporated Island County from which we could, properties could annex to the town. So that would, it would be some distance in the future before, sometime in the future before there was even a justification for expanding the town boundaries. But certainly that there are, taking a long view, ultimately there could be some significant development outside the current town limits, and that's got to go somewhere.
So Owen, so right now the owners, are they just requesting a limited access into there, or are they requesting access to get big trucks in there and out?
That has not been clarified.
Whether it's a driveway or a road, or finishing the public road.
Or an expectation for how a driveway may be used.
I mean, I would think if the intent is to have a road here used, but
you know, maybe remove some of the trees. I mean, he's got to, he or she have to find a way to get out of there.
If they go either up to Parker or down to Highway 20, am I right that they would actually affect less residences than if they go out and
you're correct. There would be far fewer neighborhoods, far less distance of roadway through residential neighborhoods.
Typically, I have a long history in land use and actually title review and such. But because if they want to log, you put in a temporary logging road, and most forest landowners go through their own property, and they have great access through their own property to the north to a street that can accommodate that a lot better and get them faster to the highway. I went on the Pennington Loop and drove down there, and I had forgotten how small and kind of tilted it is, and that those Hawthorne and Maple have odd entrances. I mean, they're really for limited vehicles, and so I mean, I guess they have, if it's for logging, they definitely have other ways to get their logs out, including through their own property. I mean, that's what it looks like. But I would like some more information on the title and the deeds and things like that. I'd like to look at that myself.
We certainly can provide that. And just to note, the easement is referenced, the same easement language is referenced on a number of titles for these, the property, subject properties, and then the properties again going down to Highway 20, but I've not found the original easement identifying specifically who is the beneficiary.
I might be able to help you.
Appreciate that.
And I just want to remind the council that definitely logging for forest management is possibly, potentially a short-term possibility, but then you also just have to think about a future development of a piece of property that size and access and wear and tear on our roads that weren't necessarily designed to accommodate future growth like that.
There were a couple of people out here that
do you want to take audience input? Okay. We'll take short audience input. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Terry Avendroth, and I own 40 in the 30, and so on. My intent right now, I'm up this 40 acres in 1994. We bought it, my husband and I, in 99. In 94, it had an old forest plan on it, and so I'm in the process by taking WSU extension classes and working with the assessor's office to update that plan. On that 40, unfortunately, I was unable to walk it with the Department of Natural Resource person or my son or Kelsey, who works for Washington Conservation District. There's very few trees, because there's some alders somewhere in the middle of that property that need to be taken down because they've reached the mature life, and in another few years, they're going to turn soft. Right now, I do own the 30 acres that are adjacent to Parker. And there's a gate over there. If you drive up Parker, you'll see a gate that has a rough, kind of a circular logging road. I mean, this whole place was locked in the early 90s, by the way. My intent is not to bring any logging trucks through Hawthorne or Pennington Loop. I mean, that's not my intent at all. My intent, as I said, I had a little accident this spring and wasn't able to walk up there. and see it for myself, but I think that you could get out the few trees by the Department of Natural Resources recommendation. I've got to go by. That's the overriding thing here. My original intent was to keep it in Forest Reserve, the 30, the 40, and not to take any trees down. Well, that's not at all what forest management is. So, and I learned a lot. So some trees, I think they're about here, have got to come down. Then I need to replant those, okay? Which I intend to do, or have done. And I believe that I can get through Parker's and the 30 acres to get that out. I do not intend, in my right mind, to bring logging trucks down this road. I don't think anyone would want to do that. But I would like that right-of-way open. There are, right now, this is under rural forest.
Terry, can I ask you to go back to the microphone so we can have this on the record, please?
Right now, the 40 is under rural forest. And the rules on that by the county are that would be 4 10-acre lots. Okay, so at the most, I mean, just say the worst case scenario, if I got water and septics and power and all that stuff, I suppose I could build or have built, sell 4 houses. But everything around there is smaller. And the county suggested that I apply just for rural. The underlying, and I don't know if I'll do that or not, the underlying zoning, county-wise, it could go down to, say, 5-acre lots. So that would put 40 divided by 5 is 8. But there'd be big lots up there. I don't intend in my lifetime to change it from forest management. Okay, my new forest plan is in the process of being completed on that. But I do think that at some point, 20 years down the road, when my children inherit this stuff, this property, that it might be developed in some, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, they may not want to be planting trees and taking out underbrush and invasive species. I mean, this is a big deal to do, to handle. I don't think it would hurt to have that right-of-way opened for access for, say, 4, 5, or 6, the maximum 8 houses, if we ever get it to 5-acre lots there. We're not talking about intensive development there. We're not talking about, I don't want logging trucks over that little road or downtown driving through Coopville. I mean, that would be ridiculous. The other side which you talked about was a little road called Willard. And can I go back over the map? Goes down here, curves along. It's a gravel road. I maintain it, Mr. Burke does. At Ada Stokes, we maintain, I believe it's probably a little private.
Sorry.
I believe that's a little private road. I don't think that would be an appropriate spot for logging trucks either, and it would be hard to get through that little square. That other piece that we looked at, so I'm going to address that for a second.
We should give you a pointer.
This one. That is virtually untraversable. It's a giant kettle, huge. And if you're not aware of that, I mean, it was shocking to see it. I mean, I wouldn't want to climb down to the bottom of that. It's huge. and that actually goes in a little bit in the corner of the 40. If you look at the topological map, you can see it. But back to our discussion. I would like permission, and then I'll work with Owen about what I need to do and what I can afford to do, to have that right-of-way opened to that 40 acres. I mean, I have like a Department of Natural Resource person walking along. I'm going to hire a forester to go in and tell me the minimum number of trees that I need to take down, because that's not what I wanted to do in the first place. And to maintain it under forest management. I'm not talking about logging that property at all. So that's my goal for the 30 acres right now and the 40 acres.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. That was really helpful. I appreciate that. And so I'm wondering if perhaps just this is a little premature, because if, I mean, I understand about forest management plans and, you know, the tax assessor, and you have to do some logging to stay in compliance, or you have to pay 7 years of back taxes and penalties. And I'm wondering if, and then also if you're doing the forest practice and staying in designated forest land and replanting, it really means, as you said, that you're really not intending to do anything for maybe 20 years until it passes to your children or heirs.
That's certainly my goal, especially for the 40 acres sitting there.
I mean, my personal opinion as a, you know, planner in my lifetime is you never want to give away right-of-ways because you can never get them back in whether it's 20 years, 40 years, 100 years. But I'm wondering if at the point that there is, you know, actually development, that you come back in at that point with some, you know, plan that we can actually see. I mean, it just seems slightly premature. I mean, DNR, you know, they're used to going on these gravel roads to get in there and look. And so that's just a thought that I have.
Well, and I'm still a little confused, Jerry. Are you, when you say you want the right-of-way open, do you mean as a full two-town standard road, or do you mean for a driveway?
I really hadn't gone that far till it came under discussion here. I don't even know what it looks, you know, I don't know what a right-of-way, how wide it is. Is that 22 feet? Is it 30? Is it 15? What is that?
It can be really expensive.
Well, what I'd like to do is see, when you look down there, it's hard to see the angle it takes. There's an angle, and then it straightens out again, obviously. And I'd like to have the Public Works Department at least put a few stakes along there so I could get through that way if I need to, since it does abut the 40 acres. But I'm not talking about logging trucks.
So you're talking about more of a driveway that you can use to access the property to walk it?
Yes, or to maybe take my old Suburban in there if I need to. I mean, I don't even know what's on the other side of that right-of-way. As I said, I was unable to walk it this spring when other people were on the property, and I'd like to get in there myself and take a look at it. But if the right-of-way exists for right now very limited use, and maybe for decades, but certainly in the immediate future, 10 or 15 years, I see no practical reason why I couldn't use that Hawthorne Street.
When you were showing the pictures, I couldn't tell. Is there actually trees growing on the right-of-way right now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be cleared. The right-of-way is not cleared all the way back to the property line.
And that would be the...
So it's at this point that you go straight through the trees, or you continue to the left?
You go straight through the, as it's diverging, right in the middle, you would proceed straight back along that route.
But the trees, can you guess on the map, Owen, could you show how much area of the right-of-way is completely not clear?
You should go to the aerial.
Hard to see. It's about a 10-foot driveway, and it's a 60-foot right of way.
10-foot driveway to the where they verge off to the left and right.
Correct.
You're meaning the existing driveway is about 10 feet wide.
Correct. All driveways are about. 10.
And then from where it wise back to the property line is forested. It's not cleared.
Correct.
It's not currently cleared right now.
Correct.
Okay.
It's not. There aren't a lot of trees toward the eastern right-of-way boundary, but there are some. And I think if it were developed to a full to the town standards, 20 feet with 22 feet with ditches on either side, there would be a number of trees that would significantly change it.
Okay, and so Owen, when someone like an undeveloped right-of-way like this, when someone is requesting that it be opened, it's up to the applicant to pay for that opening?
Correct.
If we decided to allow that?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Does that include surveying to locate it? Typically it does.
If we're being constructed to full standards, yes, we would want a survey.
But if it was just a driveway,
as long as the property corners of the adjacent properties could be identified in the field, then I don't believe it would be necessary.
Okay,
thank you.
So at this point, Owen, you want to go back to your slide of what you are asking of the town council? So we're not voting on anything today. We're giving Owen some maybe preferences or some ideas of which way we'd like him to do some further research or make a work with the attorney to make an actual recommendation to the council.
So if I could just give my input on those, maybe we go one by one, what do you guys think?
One by one idea,
like,
or one
like
by one
each,
council person?
No, each item we can talk about and go to the next. I mean, I don't know. Does that make sense, Owen?
Sure.
You start.
Okay, so
people can chime
should unopened Northeast Hawthorne Place be improved as a public street? That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the need is there at this point from what Terry said. And I would pronounce your name, but I'd probably say it wrong. So. Your last name, Avendroff?
Avendroff,
see, I did it wrong. So that one, as far as I see, isn't what it sounds like she's asking for, is putting in a 22-foot road, which would be incredibly expensive just to drive into the property on occasion. Is that the general agreement on that or not?
Yes.
So should the right-of-way be maintained as dedicated for future use? I've already stated my opinion that I don't think that the town should ever get rid of right-of-way because the town will last long after all of us here are gone and we don't know what the future holds. Is there disagreement?
Rick? I don't know if I'm real comfortable with that or not. It's just I'm looking at down the road that would be a possibility of the town being able to expand somewhere down.
No, I'm.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Down the road.
No, I'm saying it should be maintained, the right of way.
Right.
No, Rick is saying that he, no, you're saying the opposite, aren't you, Rick?
I'm saying the opposite.
That he doesn't know that he wants to have that, be responsible for access to that 40 acres 50 years from now when the county downzones it to 9,600 residential.
Well, we still have a lot of control from what I understand, and.
Not once the road is in.
No, we should not improve it as a public street, but we should maintain the right of way. That's just what's there right now.
But even just having it go up to the, wasn't one of the things the attorney said, just even having the right of way go to the property line represents some kind of.
It's kind of a gray area.
Future obligation. It could represent that.
It's a little gray, but the town attorney emphasized that it is, that state law leaves it within the council's purview to determine whether it should be approved at any point there. That's an acceptance of liability and future maintenance and perpetual responsibility once it is opened. Once it is opened as and improved as a public street.
So Owen, I know this is a lot of what-ifs, and I know that's hard to answer, but in 50 years, when the county wants to chop that up and let 120 houses be built there, they can't compel the town to provide access on if there's an existing right-of-way there?
I'm not really comfortable answering that.
Well, I think there's some more talk with the attorney as needed.
Owen has done a lot of what-ifs with the attorney, and he's been really good about sharing all, you know, his ideas of what could happen and what couldn't.
If the town chooses to do just a driveway through the right-of-way that gives the property owner access, does that then create more obligation in terms of maintaining the right-of-way and access to the 50 years from now, the 120 house development?
Well, first of all, would the town put in the driveway?
No.
No, the applicant would do.
Nor would they maintain.
Correct. And
right.
And the and this isn't exactly what you were asking, but just as a sort of a comparison or an example of how we do that in a typical situation. So we have a typical 60-foot right-of-way with 22 feet of pavement down the middle of it. Well, to get to that 22 feet, any driveway has to cross approximately 20 feet of right-of-way. So we do have, and that's why we have right-of-way permits, so that we can determine that there will be nothing untoward occurring with the right-of-way, with the town's investment in it, that it's maintainable over time. So there is a certain level of control at any time. This only differs in that the driveway would be going parallel with the direction of the right-of-way rather than perpendicular to it. So we do have a lot of cases where there are driveways. Everywhere in town there's a driveway. That's maintained by the property owner and not by the town. So as far as that goes, the town would be assuming no responsibility. Now, if there is a driveway there for 25 years and it's an unopened right-of-way, does that convey any additional legal basis for demanding that a property owner be allowed to improve the right-of-way to whatever the town standards are at the time? I can't tell you that.
Well. I would say that how you write the, if you did a permission for a driveway, how you write it can take away the presumptive right in the future. Not that anything couldn't be taken to court or challenged. But, I mean, the other thing is, are you saying one option is to, just one of many, do a driveway for the owner to just get access and oversee maintenance and operation, and then vacate. You could do would, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, maybe I shouldn't do that, but you could do a vacation of the right-of-way, but simultaneously issue, yet as part of that, a easement that goes to the property.
Exactly.
So that it could be used for maintenance and operations.
And that would be necessary.
Or we could just maintain the right-of-way also and allow with conditions a limited use driveway.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of, there's different options.
There's like a lot of different options.
But
that's why Owen.
I'd like a little bit more information. Just especially looking at the title and the easements and things like that.
For other possible accesses to 30 acres?
I'm just kind of that's what I do, is look at those kinds of things and access. I've worked at DNR and I was involved in forestry uses and things like that. But I'm just not comfortable with firm direction.
Well, and we're not making any decisions here tonight. So what does everybody else think about limited driveway use and then keeping the right of way or considering a vacation of the right of way? Does anybody else have an opinion on that?
You kind of did.
Rick does, Pat does.
Well,
what do any of the rest of you think?
I'm kind of looking at all the options. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at different than you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we've got five council people.
Yeah, I'm looking at it way down the road. You're looking at it right
now. No, I'm looking way down the road.
Well, as far as I don't have a problem with access to it. You know, from the property number. We don't have to put a road in or a highway or something.
What do you think, Chris?
I'm just thinking that maintaining forest use is actually desirable and noble.
Mm-hmm.
And that accommodating the ability to do that might be in our best interest in a limited fashion.
The trees are really good, and mm-hmm. regrowing trees is good.
Owen, do you know what the road is she was referring to on somebody else's property for the logging trucks? Do you know what road she's talking about?
Yes, that's the easement that goes south to the highway. That's the Willard Road.
Oh. But no, that is not the road she was talking about.
It was the one from Parker, the old logging road.
Where is that?
Oh, they're all over the place.
There's a gate.
Yeah, there's a gate.
Parker. It would be up from your house, up the hill.
Oh, I know where that gate is.
Yeah.
Is that on your property?
Mm-hmm.
The gate?
Yeah.
From Parker. That's the Parker Road gate. There's a really rough road that needs to be cleaned up a bit, but actually was a logging road and used. And supposedly, there's a way to get from the 30 acres into the 40 acres to deal with the few trees I need to take down.
Okay, so the gate is on your property?
The Parker Road, yes.
Yes,
that
the Parker Road gate.
With a lock on it there.
Is that property in designated forest land also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does it need any management?
Absolutely. There's forest management said that it's these skinny alder trees that we see around. They're supposed to be 250 to 300 per acre.
Mm-hmm.
And on that piece of property somewhere, I'm meeting with the forester by the end of the month, it's got 600.
Oh.
So we need, that's a big deal. It needs to be thinned big time. And I'm assuming that we'll get to those trees and get them out of there. Parker, the real skinny ones, the forest management people say you just let them lay down on the ground. I don't know if that makes sense to me yet, but I'm figuring this out. I'm in a learning curve here.
Yes. Those are great classes.
Yes, wonderful. But anyway, that's the goal for the 30. I think that's the main problem over there. Too many alders, too few spacing between them.
Jackie or Catherine, do you have any opinion or direction for Owen?
No, not that's our, not anything other than that's our opinion.
Okay, so, but, yeah.
Well, I just think it's important that they have some kind of access, but not make it a whole big road. Not only for the purpose of getting out the few that have to come out, but should there be a fire in there, they would need to bring a fire truck.
truck in. You just need the logging road somehow.
But that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about providing here.
No, I know.
Okay.
That was my first question. Is there another way of getting out of there? Yeah, I'm doing this. And I think if there is, that's what I would be doing. Now, the method in which we do it, I like your thinking when we make it limited, what they can come in and out of the Hawthorne, but no more. That's my thought.
Do you have what you...
What I'm hearing is that there's not strong interest in pursuing a vacation, that it should be maintained until such time as it's... Well, defer the decision at least to see what the future will bring, because it may be a critical link at some point or an important link. And
or may not.
Or may not, right? We will have this on another council agenda. Is that your interest in bringing back additional, providing you with the additional background information? It may be helpful to have someone who's spent more time in law school than I have attend the hearing or the hearing the meeting and perhaps more directly answer your questions than I could.
Okay, a meeting.
What meeting?
A future council meeting.
Oh, okay. I see. You're okay, but Owen, if you're not, if they are not wanting you to go back and prepare a vacation for this, which I'm not hearing, then this does not require council action.
It does not, correct.
It doesn't. It sounds like they're all fine with a very conditioned driveway access, which you would just... You and Renee will process as a right-of-way permit and an access permit.
Correct.
So what does it need to come back to the council?
It does not. It was my impression, and maybe this was incorrect, that there were some uncertainties, particularly looking at long-term implications of a driveway, of not taking other action at this point. And if you wanted the opportunity to ask questions that could... the legal basis of your decision.
So you would like the town engineer, the town attorney to come maybe possibly back to the next council meeting so that
you could get those questions on the phone.
We could do it on the phone, correct.
To get those questions answered so Owen knows whether we can't hold up the, you know, we might have to process a permit.
Right, and I will say that it is staff's understanding that the adjacency to a right-of-way allows, at a minimum, a driveway, and there's been no thought in any of the options to deny the Ms. Amendrotha.
Well, then that seems like all that she is asking for.
Right, certainly, certainly.
Well, I guess I don't have a question if it's conditional. That way she can move forward
along
the road there. Because we're in agreement, because it sounds like, I just want to make sure I understand this, because the council's in agreement that there's no reason to open or develop a public road per town standards right now.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have what you need?
I do.
Okay. Okay. Did I put the staff reports in?
Good.
Okay, so you have the staff reports from all of our department managers. I kind of chuckled a little bit on their staff reports this time. They're a little bit shorter than normal. I think that just tells you that they're super busy. they're very busy getting stuff done.
The town seems to be super busy right now. I mean, there's so many people in town, which is great. Mm-hmm. I just want to say I love the bicycle patrol.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Talk to the kids about possibly finding a way that they can afford helmets.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm happy that you're going to be able to start on the archives. Is there a date for that? It's sometime this month, I know.
Actually, after I did this, I sat down with Carol again, and she's going to be on vacation, and I'm going to be on vacation, so it'll be next month. But yeah, we just ordered the folders, so.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll be starting it next month.
And I love Kelly's Reema's report about the locks, the new auto locks.
Yes, I think that
is going to be awesome.
They are awesome.
Both people have access to it at appropriate times, and for the staff not to be constantly opening and closing them.
Making them available as much as we can while still yet protecting the asset.
And the other thing I noticed right away were the new street signs, especially those red reflectors. Mm-hmm. Wow, those really, really work. Yeah. It was amazing to me the difference in visibility.
So we put those in, we're trying them in about 3 different locations. So if you guys are, if you're aware of any other stop signs that people seem to miss, or there's a lot of rolling stops through them, just let us know and we will add those.
The one at the museum, that comes from the museum to Covelin, I haven't been on that one, but is that stop sign on both, where people do roll through?
The intersection of Covelin and Alexander?
Yeah.
Okay, there's only 2 stop signs, and there's
okay.
Red on both.
I just haven't been there lately. Yeah. I saw them somewhere else. The county's been doing some too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to come back to the Marshall's report and the bicycle helmets. I sure would like us to try to find a group or somebody that could have a little slush fund to get kids bike helmets.
What about the Lions?
The Lions, or I don't know, some group. Or, it just seems like you don't want to buy a bunch of helmets because you might not have the right sizes, but some little slush fund money comes upon. It's really, it's been proven to be so dangerous to ride bikes without.
Isn't there a nonprofit that used to do helmets and car seats?
Yeah,
and
I was trying to remember, the health department used to do car seats, but they don't do that anymore. They lost that because it's a safety thing. And I was racking my brain after I read his report. So I guess I just ask people to think about that. Should I even donate some money to some important kids for helmets?
That sounds like an excellent ask for the Lions. I'll talk to Sean about that.
You don't even have to do, it's not like it's a huge amount of money because I think most kids do that helmets. But when he does come with one, kids will come with the license.
Okay. Yep.
And I'll check with a couple of places to might still be doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
But I have had several comments from citizens about him on the mic.
And Leif's head has been measured for his bike helmet. The only reason Leif's not on a bike yet is because he doesn't have a helmet. So as soon as his helmet gets here, Leif is excited to be on bikes too.
Oh, okay.
And then Sean also told me we are due to get some replacements on our police vehicles next year. Hmm. And he said when he orders them, he's going to order them with lightweight trailer hitches that can accomplish 2 things. They can have a bike rack on them. So like right now, he's not ever too far away from his car if he gets a call. But if he has a bike rack on his car, he can drive over to the schools and park his car and then drive around on South Main. He can go up to Pennington and then drive the neighborhood or Peaceful Valley. He can cover more area. And then also it would have a trailer hitch so they can pull the speed trailer around. Right? Neither one of their cars can do that right now, but Joe Brogan is moving the speeding trailer around for him when they want it.
I have a question. We have any more interviews for the engineer?
Oh, thank you for asking that. That turned down on our last candidate today.
Mm-hmm.
So we are starting over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't even had a chance to tell that to Kelly because she was out training all day. So I will be asking Kelly to double check all of our job postings. We are going to add a posting to engineering Associate Washington State Engineers Association, some kind of site we heard about after the first posting. We're going to add that listing. And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to try really hard to hire some engineering consulting. Did I tell you this? For the two projects, we have a big deadline on.
Yeah.
for grants. So I'll be trying to do that. And then as far as the Community Green Project goes, Kim had some, a lot of the engineering done on that, but it's not complete, but it's very far along. And so I talked to Stig Carlson about that today, and he said that any adjustments that need to be made on that engineering, he plans to, he asked me if it would be okay to work with David O. Engineering as a sub under him, so he could handle that engineering under his project. Because he's got electrical sub,
I think you mentioned
subs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're still, I mean, the goal is still to have a full-time engineer, so we're still working towards that.
I wonder, Kelly, if you wanted to do night school. Engineer.
I don't need school.
Okay, so this is our second and last opportunity for audience input. Anybody have anything to say to the council? No? Okay. Then we are adjourned.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say that I have really enjoyed my short time on the council, and I just want to thank everybody for tolerating my newness and all the support of staff, and it's been wonderful, and I wish you all.
We'll miss you.
We'll miss you.
We'll
miss you.
We'll be thinking about you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good thoughts. We're glad that even though it was short, we're glad you could to be able to work with you for a while. And maybe in the future someday.
That would be nice.
Never know.
We've still got that vacant line.
Okay. We adjourned. Thank you.
Hey, Nancy.